Good afternoon. It is Tuesday, May 22nd, 2018, and we're in the Board of County Commissioners Conference Room for a 2 p.m. legal counsel update. We're going to kind of go a little bit out of order here. Our first item would have been the Merlin Sidewalk Project as item one. We're going to skip down to item number five, dissolution of the Cannabis Advisory Committee. Commissioner Morgan, if you do the introductions, and we'll get started on this, please.
Sean Martinez, our prevention manager, has been staff support for the committee and the panel, and Don Pashing has graciously been our chair, so thank you both for that. There was a letter that Mr. Pashing presented to Sean Martinez. I'm printing it now. I had forwarded to legal counsel and thought it'd be in the packet so you guys would have the information ahead of time, so I apologize for that. Our last couple meetings, we have not had a quorum. It almost feels like it was actually three meetings, but it was the meeting that we had with a school district that came. There was no quorum, and then there was another one that I think we just canceled, or then the next one we had. But the recommendation of those that showed last one, it was a really good conversation. But the committee members were recommending that either you dissolve the panel or you restructure it completely. As the current task given in the bylaws really kind of handcuff the scope of what they're able to do. Prevention and those kind of issues are dealt with out of the LADBC. And just so you both have copies of what I printed, I know you already have what you gave, but essentially, Mr. Fashing's letter kind of highlighted that there was internal conflicts in the group, that the majority of the panel were people directly involved in the industry, that anytime any topic would come up bringing up any potential problems, it was a big lash back as far as don't impose any regulations, don't impose any change, there's no problems. Even when in discussing the schools, there's no problems, was the feedback when the school district came and talked about how many expulsions. The scope and authority was that since land use was being dealt with through planning and the prevention team was kind of addressing the cultural issues with the schools, there wasn't much left for the group to discuss or understanding how to discuss that. And the attendance was sporadic with several of the members, and then the last two meetings there was no quorum. And so the recommendation was that they weren't being productive and had not accomplished anything of significance, and asked that we have a conversation as to the recommendation of the group was to dissolve the panel. But the question, one other recommendation of the group was to see about restructuring a different direction of goals. And so anyhow, I don't know if you have, I don't want to speak for you, but that was kind of my summary since they didn't have a letter ahead of time.
Right. I think if the other two commissioners would look at page two and where the bold bullet point, internal conflict, I think I'd like to comment on that. Since the inception of the panel, went from committee to panel, after we established what the bylaws were going to be and our operating guidelines, regardless of the topics that we attempted to discuss, it always drifted back to land use issues. It would be made very clear by either Commissioner Morgan or myself as the chair, we were not to discuss land issues. Let's focus on something else. But ultimately, it always drifted back to that, where I consistently had to remind two or three of the panel members to stop what they were doing, let's get back on track and try and do something productive. It never happened. Having the majority, in the case of this current panel, six members being cannabis subject matter experts, for lack of anything else, they were not in favor or even in agreement to discussing anything that put any type of restriction or limit on the cannabis problem or problems in the county. And we never really could resolve anything. We really couldn't. And we had, at one meeting, I would think it was the second or the third meeting, we actually had almost physical contact between one of the visitors who got just crazy angry and almost assaulted one of the panel members in the hallway. And after that, I kept noticing that we would see conflict. And then we get the panel members who would say, I'd like to say something, and would have prepared speeches and comment again on the problems in the cannabis industry, and I would try again to focus them back. Never happened. The bylaws did restrict us in that most of the panel members wanted to talk about land use issues, and particularly the rural residential 5 issues. And we tried again to explain that's not our job here. We are clearly not to discuss that. Didn't matter. They constantly went back to that. I tried to get them to focus on some of the cultural issues, which were in the bylaws. And we brought in the school. They were given assignments. A majority of the panel members were assigned a middle school or high school in the various parts of the counties. They were to go meet with some of the administrators, ask questions to see, in fact, if we even did have a problem in the schools. Didn't get a response back from any of the panel members that were assigned schools. In fact, the majority that were assigned schools were in the no-shows, the six members that failed to even attend the meetings. Never heard back, no contact, as I know of, with Sean or Commissioner Morgan, clearly not with me, as to whether or not they were even going to attend the meeting. So that even never materialized. And then, as I mentioned in the participation bullet, it got to where we were at 20%, 40%, and then the last two meetings, over 60% of the membership failed to show without even notifying, so they were unexcused absences, and we couldn't even conduct business because we didn't have a quorum to do so. The last bullet on accomplishments, that's where I felt really frustrated over the lack of accomplishments for the panel, for the many meetings that we held and the assignments that were given. I just saw nothing positive as far as suggestions, particularly from the cannabis growers, nothing. They didn't have anything. I'd say, I'm open to suggestion, panel members, anybody, nothing. Then I look back at what we had based on the cohesion problems with the group as a whole, which wasn't functioning well at all, and I didn't see a fix. With the current makeup of the panel, there was no way I could see that we were going to resolve any of these issues. Commissioner Morgan suggested that we restructure the panel. I really don't know what that would do as far as helping the panel move forward. If the commissioners, the board, if you decide to try again to move forward with an advisory panel, at this point in time, I just see it as a futile effort. That's my opinion.
Well, I would say that from the prevention side of things, we are creating some pilot projects right now to be within the schools, specifically around marijuana issues. And I would say that it is, we're open and welcome to the cannabis industry sitting at the table, but there was no give and take. It was definitely one side against the other side, which we're kind of beyond that right now. And I think that LADPC, Local Alcohol and Drug Planning Committee, can be advisory board on several of prevention issues or maybe other things that were in the bylaws, the working with the schools. We have both school districts represented on LADPC. And so I just think that that it's something that should be dissolved and we move forward in a positive.
So one of the restructuring recommendations we had talked about was one of the bylaw components was some of the issues with the complaints and maybe mitigating complaints, hearing some of those complaints. The panel was not open to doing that. When I brought it up, the feedback I got was that would take too much time and we're not interested. So I'm not really sure what the board would like to do, but we, with the letter being received and the recommendation after this last meeting of a no quorum, it was kind of like, okay, where do we go from here?
I'm disappointed because I thought the cannabis community wanted a place at the table to talk about all the issues, and you know, we brought it up, and I think when I was campaigning and out in Williams, I said, you know, I'm just waiting for your industry to take ownership of the complaints instead of saying that they're not happening. And I was hoping that's what this panel, it seemed to me, was, yes, we're going to resolve these issues. You know, we're on board. We hear you loud and clear. This, what can we do to do that? But what you're telling me is that there was no interest from the cannabis contingent on the panel to do anything even close to that.
Correct.
I don't think that the people, within the industry agreed with themselves sitting at the table. And it was kind of a, they're there for their own personal gain or, no personal gain, but the land use issues. So a lot of them were part of the RR5, wanting that to be the main focus on discussion. So.
And that wasn't supposed to be the main focus.
No,
it
was not.
At any time.
No.
Once that topic was off the table and the county had, the commissioners had gone forward with our ordinance, that's when many of them stopped coming any longer.
Yes.
Interesting. Commissioner Hare?
Yeah, I'm disappointed as well. I just feel like that was what the charge was, is for them to have an opportunity to get in at least the passenger seat to start, you know, mitigating some of the issues with this. And it didn't have to be just mitigating. Could have given the board positive direction about what things we could be doing, you know, proactively to refine the industry in a positive way in the county. Didn't have to necessarily be restrictive. So I knew it was going to be a tough charge. It wasn't really clearly delineated what it was that they were supposed to do. We got this challenge, talk about it, and try to come up with a recommendation. Reminds me of the similar thing is either the Rural Planning Commission but has defined laws and restrictions, or the coordination committee that we had about 8 years ago. And that was, you know, divergent issues that need to come out with a good recommendation of how do you treat natural resources in Josephine County. And that doesn't just happen. It takes a lot of effort. But frankly, I feel like a lot of the issues that this advisory committee would need to address are almost resolving themselves on a market standpoint. And the things that are not being addressed by the market, you guys are doing, or yes. The Rural Planning Commission is doing.
Yes.
So it felt like something that needed to be done at the time, and maybe it would be really interesting to really hear, you know, if it is RR5 that they want to deal with, then they're going to have their venue. State statute requires a Rural Planning Commission, and they'll have their opportunity to weigh in over there. But I don't think any one of them has actually applied for the Rural Planning Commission, which is kind of ironic. Anybody from the cannabis industry, because we've had pretty shallow, you know, people, we've had spots open. They haven't even applied for the Rural Planning Commission, where it would be that appropriate driving force behind issues like the RR5. So it's kind of a strange thing.
Well, and not only when I brought up the bylaw portion about trying to help make recommendations of, so if the county is dealing with complaints of this nature, what's a way that we can help work with the industry to resolve that? The response I got from the main spokesperson that night was, we don't believe there's any issues. We believe that you may have this many complaints, but there's only this many that are actually issues. So it's not worth our time weeding through.
They didn't see it as a problem.
No.
No.
If you don't like a move.
it was difficult.
Well,
I'm
disappointed because I thought, you know, like I said, I thought it was a good move, and I thought it was not necessarily an olive branch. I thought it was a heck of an opportunity missed for that industry to become more relevant, more, you know, as part of the community driven, mm-hmm. and actually, you know, pipe up and stand up for what they say, which is, you know, we're here to help the community and so on and so forth, because there's a lot of revenue or a lot of money involved in that industry, as there was in timber and hops and mint and grapes and everything else. But you know, I just grievously disappointed in them, not you. You guys tried, you know, Commissioner Morgan, you know, setting this whole thing up. She got a ton of hours in this thing, as you do in volunteer time. And to just have them snub it and say, no, we're not interested in anything other than the land use side of it, which was never an element in the first place. It was almost like they said, well, this is going to be, as you say in here, this is our soapbox, and that's where we're going to stand. So.
Did you guys talk about opportunities for the cannabis industry to come along as a partner in the community? There was talk of that during the land use hearings, of ways for them to, you know, give back, so to speak, you know, take this positive thing economically and reinvest in the community, set up, I don't know, scholarship funds or all of that sort of stuff and refine it in a real good way. Do you guys talk about that?
That topic was never mentioned, no. I mean, there were a couple times that they were talking about how could the cannabis industry here in the county help the county, but nothing ever materialized, nothing solid. And then it would seem to would always revert back to the land use issues. It just constantly went back to that. And they would never move forward on anything. And then, as Fish said, once the land use issues were off the table completely, lost interest. And I would ask, I don't know how many of the meetings I asked.
There were a couple non-growers that stopped attending
yes.
as well.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. They got real stopped. Frustrated. And, yeah. I was in contact with a couple of the non-growers, and they said, why are we here? Why are we doing this?
You guys reached out to Jackson Counties and seen what they're experiencing, if they've had similar situations or if they've made positive progress in any way?
Did not do that, no. No.
I mean, essentially, anytime we bring up, is there any topics we should discuss, it was crickets. I mean, there was nothing. The only topic that was kind of, well, what about let's reaching out to the schools? What about this? I mean, there was, I mean, it literally was just kind of nobody had any suggestions.
No.
Other than on the land use wait.
And I was extremely disappointed on the lack of participation or follow through with the members who were assigned schools. Nothing. Didn't even try and make contact. No reports. And then it was embarrassing that one night because we actually had a school official there to discuss the issue, and
nobody,
we didn't even have a quorum.
Mm-hmm.
We had several.
They were afraid
yes.
of what answers
yeah.
they would
show
get.
Up, but I mean, there's one
well,
question: is
quorum,
should it
can
be
we
other?
Handled? We have that issue with other yeah. advisory committees, and that's handled.
Yeah.
The people who expressed interest in early on wanted their name in the paper. There's 10 people behind those that will want to do the work.
Right.
And
right.
Maybe chose poorly.
Yeah.
And we can do that. We can re-advertise, say we have openings for it. I think that's your restructuring idea.
Bringing a different membership.
Quorum doesn't really bother
right,
me.
Right.
It's a solvable issue. But
it's getting some interest. And then again, your makeup of the committee or the panel would be extremely important. And, you know, I'd see the board would have to really solicit membership and define what we're really going to, what the panel, if it is reconvened, or restructured, what are we really going to try to accomplish, or what can we accomplish? I don't know.
The idea that it was too restrictive, the scope, it really just restricted one element, which is delegated to somebody else. You could even talk about the prevention element. There's no problem with that. Mm-hmm. So I don't.
Well, there
like,
there was an attempt to talk about prevention.
Yeah,
but there wasn't.
But I don't
need.
See the reason for it being restrictive. It was your guys' panel. You
right, right.
Make it. Do
right.
just about anything. I'd say that portfolio was 90% of the other issue other than
right.
than that land use one. And even land use that wasn't discussed as part of the proposed ordinance, I would be okay with yeah. you guys. You know, we didn't hit everything in that ordinance. There's still land use issues that should be talked about, just not what's on the what's on the table right now in that draft or in that ordinance. So anyway, it felt like me, to me, there's a lot of plowable ground for the industry to come to the table and talk about all of the other issues that are associated with this, with reasonable committee, delegate of the board, staff at their disposal, every resource available, and nothing?
Nothing. And when we actually read, or I read the section of the bylaws about the cultural issues, what we're looking for, I said, does anybody have any suggestions or ideas as to where we can or how we can impact the county from a cultural standpoint based on problems that we see with the marijuana community or positive issues? Nothing. Commissioner, nothing.
Okay.
They just sit there.
Well, we've worked together long enough
right.
to know that
yeah.
you leaned into it real hard, I'm sure.
Yeah. We tried. I honestly say we tried. I was very, very disappointed in it.
Well, I think we all are.
Yeah,
I think we are. I think, you know, we, in the broader brush, we wanted, you know, this industry was forced on us by Measure 91 and the fact that we didn't have anything on the books like Jackson County did. So we've got a lot of the problems. But I, you know, and I just thought, let's reach out. Let's reach out as as we obviously did, and if nothing came of it, I have no problem dissolving the panel. I don't know about you two. What do you, is that board order that does that? Simon?
Yeah, that's what created it. And then I guess you're the chair of the committee. Are you speaking on behalf of the committee or just those that were in attendance at a meeting?
Those were in attendance. And I have talked to the non-growers, and they are all, the three that I've talked to, are no longer wanting to be involved with the committee, the panel. So we get nowhere. We spin our wheels. It's just a battle. So, you know,
I think the procedural way to do this is actually to host, call for another meeting of the committee, have that one agenda item as dissolution. And, you know, if you don't get a quorum, you don't hear from people, or it's discussed and it's reinforced. What I don't want people to do is hear about this in the paper, have it on a weekly business session agenda that there's an order ready to do it. There was no conversation, no ability to talk about that before. You know, everybody's going to come up with excuses as to why they couldn't be there. This happened. You know, that's the last time that'll happen. I'll be there. These are the issues I want to talk about. If you give them an opportunity to do that at one more meeting, and maybe it jumpstarts everybody to say, oh, I didn't know that was what was on the line. Maybe it does, but either way.
There were essentially, other than the chair, three people. Mm-hmm. Two people came to the last meeting other than the chair.
Yes.
And then I heard from one afterwards who had a conflict come up, and he apologized for being gone. Even as such, that's four people.
Well, short of that meeting, you could also just survey, you know, have staff survey the committee and say, this is a potential agenda item. Are you interested in that? We need to facilitate it some way to where there's...
I agree.
Probably buy-in from everybody that, yeah, that's the...
It's the fair thing to do.
Yeah. So, that sound?
I can, yeah, and we can coordinate a conversation. With those that were present and the others that you've surveyed, it is the majority of them that have said to dissolve it. However, it would be nice to give an opportunity, I guess.
Last-ditch effort. When do you want to do that?
Well, the next scheduled meeting would be June 12th. I will not be here. So that's not fair to say, hey, show up so we can dissolve it. If I'm not there, it's kind of...
You don't actually have to have the meeting. I gave two options here.
Yeah, let's email and do a survey and see if we can get a response.
You've got not a majority, but you've got a group that's inclined to do that and those that showed up. So.
And then, based on the response, we can bring a report back in legal.
The reason I asked the staff to do that is so that there isn't a quorum facilitated, so you blind copy, carbon copy everybody can't work on, whoever that is.
Okay.
Thank you both.
Thank you very much. Well, thank you both for your service on that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
We tried.
Appreciate it.
Okay, we're going to skip back to item number one, Merlin Sidewalk Project update.
Good afternoon, commissioners.
Director Brandis on board here.
So, we're 2 weeks and a day into it, and they are flying along out there. That's the right number. So, Commissioner Harris is not here. Well, I don't know if you see the previous week's map. Get the kind of the gist of what we're doing. Okay. So, effectively, the red is under construction, which could mean anything from the top has been skinned off to the forms are in place. Yellow means a sidewalk is in place but is not fully cured, so it's potentially green. Green is sidewalk is good to go.
It's the sidewalk's in place. It's poured.
That would be yellow, right. Green would be it is fully cured and effectively
is... Okay, yellow is just poured but not cured.
Correct.
And this is as of today?
This is as of yesterday, midday.
How are we coming along there in front of the little pantry? Is that going to be...
That will be buttoned up for Memorial Day. Yeah, we've been working close with Dale because he wants it. You know, it will not be perfect. There's still some transitional paving, but the driveway and everything else will be pulled out of the way, and there will not be an impact to...
And it'll be cured enough to drive on? And,
yep.
Okay.
So as they're moving their way from east to west, by the end of this week, I anticipate everything from Merlin Sanitarium to Pleasant Valley will be done, with the exception of the two radiuses there for Merlin Avenue. They don't want to leave those out over the weekend because people can either, you know, drive over a form or kick it apart or whatever else, and then a few other small transitional paving. But they've actually already moved then west of the Pleasant Valley intersection there, and they're moving their way down towards Merlin Sanitarium Road, and I suspect... by early tomorrow, they're going to actually start then even picking off that southwest corner of the project. So they're making good progress. I don't want to say they've got X percent of feet out of X percent because this is kind of a low-hanging fruit right now. These are a lot of the easier straight rips. We don't have a couple of utility conflicts, but I think they're on pace for what they need to do. A couple things that have popped up. The Riffle Cafe lost power last Saturday morning. They're working with Copeland to determine what and where it happened, but it sounds like everything in the ground is 50, 60 years old, and it could have even been a roller working 10 feet away that finally popped something, but that's why Copeland carries insurance, and so they'll probably have an adjuster out there to figure out if there's any damages to, or liquidated damages to pay for. So if the transition for the low pantry is about done. Another thing we're working on is the drainage there with Victoria Station. So effectively, a lot of it captures just north of the Pleasant Valley intersection there, and it goes kind of diagonal to the northwest across Ferguson's. The pipe is clear all the way there. The problem gets to be behind Victoria Station on her private land where it just has not been maintained over the years. So we're going to work on drainage easements to see if we can't get back there, yard that thing out, and get it moving along. Similar issue kind of down on the west end there near the terminus of the project. So
is there a pipe?
Yes.
That goes all the way to Joe Creek?
No, not all the way to the creek. It picks up a scratch ditch basically once it exits the west side of Ferguson's. And it's a scratch ditch that takes it most of the way out of there. And it just, this road was realigned by ODOT in like 69, and there was probably something scratched in at the time. How much has been done in the interim? Probably not much, because it's, again, it's private property, and, you know, folks figure it's not flooding this year. Well, it would be, and pretty soon we've got a problem.
Because it seems like there's no place for the water to go if it was lifting a manhole cover over by Ferguson.
Once it daylights out of Ferguson's, it's actually, there's almost a sump there. The land is built up enough around it to where you've got a 24-inch that's empty, but the land rises right beyond it. So, yeah, but it is, it's flatter than a fritter back there, and it'll take some ditching to get it where it needs to go. It's on the Public Works webpage as it looks right now. I can send it to board staff if you want to put it on your webpage as well. It's going to look almost identical to this. It's got some of the extra engineering stuff on the sides that folks can either hide or ignore, but that seems to be a good way to do it. It's fairly cut and dry for folks. I'm not here next Tuesday. I don't know what we want to do for updates on that potentially. I shouldn't say I may not be here next Tuesday, so I'm happy to provide this same map and any comments on an email if that works, or do you want
the progress on
it? To delineate that shoulder area without a bike?
Oh, as opposed to just the cross section shown here? Yeah, I mean, we could take that diagram off. All that really is to do is to show here's the stuff that can go in this
it's
area.
The bike that reinforces the bike lane principle.
Sure. So. Yeah, and
take that off just sure. So nobody picks it up and says, well, see what they're going to do here?
Sure.
There's still a bike lane.
Yeah.
I think this is great. So your plan is to do the northern half side first and then drop down to
They'll get as far as they can. There's a couple of utility conflicts on that western end with CenturyLink. They have a couple of vaults. They're going to have to lower a few inches. So basically you go in there. Yeah, you put a vac on down, then you basically make the ground below it liquefied enough to where the whole thing kind of just does this job, hopefully. That's the way in theory. So the other option would be, can you potentially ramp the sidewalk up to it, but then you get into ADA stuff, and are you trying to catch the grade from 300 feet away?
So but there's a lip outside of the foundation for the...
There would be, where that vault sits. So they're aware of it, and they've been out there taking a look. They just haven't started lowering it yet. But that's the kind of stuff that, you know, yeah, we're flying along, but...
Can you grind off? Something?
I had that discussion with them, but then it starts messing up the lip. It'll be kind of on CenturyLink to what's the cheapest, because it is in the right-of-way, so it's their problem. If we come and say, hey, you got to fix this because we're trying to work around it, it's their nickel, so it's on them to figure out the best way to get there.
You can't bring the sidewalk, obviously, because that changes the lip.
Well, I mean, we've looked at it, but it's, yeah, how far do we have to run to catch it to keep within that percent and a half radius? It could be a long ways.
How far is it? You
know. I don't know right here, sitting here, yeah. But, even, yeah, 3 inches at... percent and a half, 2% is a long way to go.
Yeah, it's funny in all those issues.
Yeah. So, all in all, I'm really happy with the progress out there, and
yeah,
I think the, you know, like I've told folks, I can't sit here and say we're going to fix all the drainage issues, but it's not going to make any worse, and I think it'll fix a lot of them, just knowing now that there's stuff in the back that needs to be fixed. So.
Well, part of it goes for that we just appreciate you looking at that stuff, you know, that people will feel better about knowing what the reason is if we've explored every option for us, that it's really not our infrastructure. Our hole's open, and the drain, the pipe's there. It's the other side that it just has nowhere to go.
It's hard. We run into this a lot every year when it starts, when the rain comes, and they say, holy cow, the road's flooding me out. It's not like the road's just conveying water from this side to that. It's because then you've built a berm in front of your house. I mean, you try to work with folks, but we can only do so much on private property.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I did, like I said, my wife got a comment from friends of hers that goes out to the Riffle. And everybody just thought it was the most fantastic thing in the world to have that sidewalk out there. Said it really made it look nice.
Nice. Oh, and we met with Bill Ferguson a week ago. He's looking at some bike rack options. Julie and I met with him. He does really cool work, as you know. And he's going to look at designing a few. And we've got four folks that have kind of said, yeah, I'd like to put one in. So
cool. Basically
we build it and we'll install it if you provide a footprint on your private property. So.
And the projected future stuff is... And you're going to build out that north side, and then you're going to start on the south.
Yep, wrap it back around and start from the southwest, working back. Yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions on the Merlin sidewalk project?
How's the traffic moving around this? Is it just
Copeland's doing a good job. As long as that work zone is, it could have been a zoo, but they're doing a good job of keeping things moving. And it's nice to have the extra 6 feet outside the fog line, so they've got some room to play with. But no, they've kept the operation skinnied up where they need to. So
great.
Yep.
That's good to hear.
I've got a few extra copies. I'm going to leave these here. Folks, come in.
Yeah, leave them here in case we get.
Are they working 4/10s or 5 days a week?
Five. Yeah. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
I guess I'll move over and get out of the way then.
You're next.
And that concludes number one. Number two is order number 2018-041 in the matter of mitigating road damage, sinkhole on Beacon Drive and milepost 0.16, approving temporary closure of roadway during repairs, declaring emergency, amends order number 2018-035.
Ta-da. So the reason for getting the emergency status when we do this call,
no.
Okay. So the reason for the emergency status was effectively to eliminate some of the longer bidding and contracting items that we would have to do with a typical public works project like this. So this effectively allowed us to go seek out individual bids and get a quicker solicitation process to get this thing fixed, because GPID is running up against needing to turn on the water, and we're concerned about how far the road is going to keep moving. So with the declaration, that alleviates that need for the longer timeline.
Do you have any questions on that Beacon Road project? I think this is probably a blessing in disguise, because other than that, it was scheduled for the road closure, which is scheduled for July sometime, which was right at the height of irrigation system in comparison to now, and we're getting rains from time to time, and
it's
nobody's really needing air conditioning yet to get crops in the ground.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, we've been leaning on GPID since last August to take a look at this, and they were adamant that it was a road issue, and then they turned on the ditch last Monday, and by Tuesday there's water on center line, so I don't think it's the road. So we'll open it up.
We'll dig it up and we'll find out.
See what we find out, right.
It's still a way to find out. You can guess, camera it, crawl in it, do whatever you want to do, but until you... get it pulled out of there.
Even if there was no water, we still have the slimmer pipe slip lined in the larger pipe, so there's a 4, 5, 6 cubic yard void in there that's going to eventually fill as well. And if you keep putting material on top, eventually that slip lined pipe goes pop, and then we're right back where we started, if not worse. So, yep.
This might be aborted. So, any other questions on item number two, order number 2018?
It's just the element of an emergency. If it really is such, you shouldn't treat it like standard operating procedures of waiting until the weekly business session. That's not what an emergency is. An emergency could be done today. And so I don't have any problem making a motion to approve that.
Okay.
If that's within the purview of the board, it should be done in a timely fashion, because otherwise it's routine.
Are you getting bids yet, or have you solicited bids, or you wait for this order?
Yes.
Parallel tracks.
Good
answer.
That's
what I would assume.
So was that a motion?
Was.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thanks for
I can bring the order back, because I don't have a...
You got it already?
Mm-hmm. Do you have it printed in there?
No.
No.
I'll bring this back so you can sign it today.
Okay.
Okay. I can tell you work will start Tuesday.
What's that?
Work will start Tuesday, most likely.
Okay, good.
We got a good number. Very good number.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. One more quick one, if I could. Without Thursday admin to the training, we've got the Azalea paving contract ready to go on that. With board approval, I'd like to get that on for next business session for Wednesday. This is effectively the overlay from Merlin Road to Robertson Bridge Road.
Yeah, I took a look at that today in anticipation of not having a Thursday, and I think we should shop it to the board, but it sounds good to me.
We got two bids, came in under engineer's estimate, so we have about $290,000 to spend. So the bid was $260,000, and our intent would be we will just keep moving south down Azalea until we run out of money. So
you'll just apply that.
Yep, so to get us another tenth of a mile, 1,500.
Okay.
Okay, I'll be back for Wednesday.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Moving on to item number three, draft ordinance number 2018-XXX, an ordinance pertaining to forest practices and repealing ordinances 85-6 and 85-E.
So this is something we've been talking about for a little while. We addressed it at a previous legal meeting. Needed a little bit of time. Nothing much has changed. I had some recommendations of changing the order of definitions, and I don't know that that made it into your packet as I just did it this morning. Pat and I worked on it.
I do. I have some.
She's got printed copies. The other one was just changing program to department to make it consistent phraseology. Otherwise, I think it's fairly.
I had read through. I was glad to have the red line. It helps kind of see what's different.
How it got there.
Yeah, and I didn't have any concerns with it. We're always at the mercy of the state changing their Forest Practices Act. But otherwise, I thought it looked good, and I was glad we actually had time to read it.
The question I had, if I just read it, it appeared to me that we have jurisdiction over any forest land, whether it's on private property or not.
It wasn't clear.
It was not clear.
There's a word county missing.
Yes.
Thank you. Good point.
The word county,
I remember reading that.
County owned or county
managed.
Managed, I think, would be going there. Because when I read through it, I thought,
this
just says that we can arbitrarily go in and say, yep, that's forest land, and it was my land. Yeah, mm-hmm. But it's designated forest land, so that's what we're going to do. That was the only thing that I had in it, that just after reading it.
It's in the first whereas is to really clarify that it's just county-owned property.
Yes, but it doesn't carry through.
So.
No, it's in forest land. It doesn't really.
We just need to add county.
We'll fix that in the first part.
Yeah.
That was the only thing I had. Other than that, I thought.
It's a place where there's trees.
Because I think it's going to do what it needs to do, I think.
I've got a couple of points. One, we've discussed a little bit of new authority for myself as the director, and it mentions in there all timber sale contracts shall be approved by the Board of Commissioners, which is true. That's definitely notwithstanding Josephine County Administrative Policies and Procedures. Designated representative may amend the price and terms of timber sale contracts unless otherwise ordered by the board. Are we going to address any level of authority, or is it just going to be in line with other directors within the county?
And you'll be the designee. No,
and what
does
about
it say in relation to the other board orders of administrative policy of the county? Or I almost read it to say that you have authority to change the contract.
It doesn't actually put limits in.
But I still have a limit that's countywide for all directors, I would presume. I don't think I'm exempt from that.
You would be if this was an ordinance, because the ordinance won't be governed by an order unless the order specifically references, in my opinion. I mean, it's a shall as opposed to being clarified by another order. We'd have to clarify, I think, in the county's order that it also applies to ordinance number. But an ordinance trumps an order.
Okay.
And in this case, one thing to keep in mind, your contract, if they're greater than 50,000, an amendment still requires it to come through us. Because
that's what he's saying.
Yeah, and I think that
makes sure how it's written.
So if you want it consistent with other department heads, even an amendment, if the overall contract's over 50,000, you'd have to bring those back to us. So this is actually giving you the authority outside of those limits to make those
which
changes.
I have not seen yet in terms of that. I've never seen a contract. It's usually been for
$1,000.
I'm not talking the amendment amount. Because the original contract is greater than 50,000, can a department head make an amendment for just $1,000? Or because the still total contract is still $1 million, it requires it to take the account of the full amount?
So here, in my opinion, a contract, timber sale contract, should always be signed by the board, whether it's for $20,000 or $2 million. The original contract should be signed by the board.
Yeah, it does say in 4.05, all timber sale contracts shall be approved by the Board of County Commissioners.
Yeah.
And then amendments, I would presume, would fall under the regular limits that the directors are under, unless...
That's where the policies, it says notwithstanding the policies.
I think that's, so that's okay, though, right?
Yeah, that means...
Because those policies have changed numbers of times.
I just want to make sure that...
Contract.
So is that the intent, that he can make an amendment up to $10,000 and the liaison can up to $50,000, and then beyond that, any amendment comes to the board?
As it currently
stands. Because current administrative policies and procedures follows the order.
Right.
And so that language in there. Or is the intent that if he needs to, he can as he needs to? So I...
The way I read it is if he needs to, he can. It says notwithstanding the administrative rules and procedures, which means... Even though there's those rules and procedures.
So essentially, he can amend it on his own.
Yes.
And my other question would also be non-timber contracts. Those weren't addressed anywhere.
Non-timber.
Planting, tree planting, vegetation control, things of that nature.
And I see even a hardwood contract. That's not a forestry contract.
Exactly.
You should theoretically be able to sign those.
At any amount?
I don't know that I care.
Okay.
I know.
Well.
There are certain situations where I can't see a situation on a hardwood sale where I care.
Well,
could
I make a suggestion?
Yeah.
Right now, for instance, all county leases have to be signed by the Board Commissioner by an order. But then we did an order that allowed Larry to do that.
Right.
So... You could probably have a separate order if you wanted. If you wanted the forestry, you know, instead of taking care of it in the ordinance, if you wanted...
That works great for 90% of the administrative stuff, but I don't. I ideally want to leave a lot of the authority to the forester.
Right.
The board's initial thing is to hire the guy or gal. After that, leaving the day-to-day maintenance of it, I'd like it much... That's my philosophy. Somehow, if we can put that into the language.
In here?
So, I thought the language was meant to limit the term of the sale to only be an extension up to 1 year. Otherwise, it'd come back to the board. And is the price ever going to go less than what the contract was signed?
No. The way our timber sale contract is, we can never go less than what it was sold at. However... We can reappraise it and go more than what it's sold at.
But this doesn't say that. This is designated representative may amend the price and the terms of the sale contract. So we're in the car, we were talking about how there may be a time that so long as it doesn't change the finance, you'd want to extend it for a year.
Exactly.
That happens all the time.
It does.
Mm-hmm. What's that?
That happens quite often.
Absolutely. So, but this doesn't put those kinds of parameters on. It just says you can amend the price up or down. It doesn't say up or down, but it doesn't say.
Contract does, though.
The timber sale contract itself that we sign and the purchaser signs,
so they're kind of
has a clause in it that says they can ask for an extension of time and the county can reappraise it, but in no terms shall it be less than what they bought it at.
It can go up, but it can't go down.
I'm just saying how this is worded that says you may amend the price in term of the timber sale contract.
So you're saying it doesn't say can amend
it. Overriding the contract.
No, it isn't. No, there are tools together. The contract says you can't adjust it down. It's very simple.
But this says,
and it says you can amend it.
And amend it, you would have to, could only amend it up.
That's what the contract says.
Contract says you can amend it, but you can't go down. You can only go up.
But amending
the contract, the ordinance says you can amend the contract based fiscally on anything you want to do.
Well, it says I can adjust the
contract. Says you can adjust it by one
gallon, but only one direction.
So,
okay, and all I'm saying is that an amendment of a contract essentially overrides the previous contract unless you put a stipulation in here of what you're talking about.
An amendment in addition to.
An amendment very specific to the clauses and that change and says no other terms in this contract.
And an ordinance won't change the contract. It's just giving him the authority to change what's in the contract based on what the contract says. Very simple.
Well, I just don't think it's worded in a way that it keeps it very simple. I think it gives more authority than what we're saying we're wanting done.
What would you... Do you have a suggestion? Because I don't know if we're... I think we're misunderstanding.
What about designated representative may amend the price in terms of to or sell contracts as related to each contract's agreement or something? But, I mean, this doesn't say anything about restricting up or down or anything else. It's just I can amend the contract.
It can amend the price and term.
It's pretty clear. And he can only amend the price based on the contract in one direction. If the contract said you can get no greater extensions than 1 year, he's given authority to change the duration of the contract, but only as much as the contract says, to a year. All of that stuff, if we were petitioned by the contractor, the board could do. But his delegated authority is defined within the contract in this ordinance for those two things. It's up and for pretty much as long as you want, right? Doesn't say how long.
Maybe we really just need to say as defined within the contract. You want a link to the
contract? Refer it back to the contract. Yeah. I think that would that clarify.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought that's what it says.
No.
And I do want to look at that clause, too. We have talked about
which one?
Reviewing our timber sale contract at some point. So it'd be that clause with the extension of time in it. That's our timber sale contract.
Oh, yes. We've talked about doing changing the whole contract because it needs to be updated. It's really old.
Do you see anything else you'd like to do on that? I think we just had a couple of items referring back to the contract and also describing county-owned, county-managed property.
Did you bring me a copy of it or no?
Did I bring you a copy?
Another item that I noticed, and I really apologize, I got elbow deep into trying to do something productive and got here late. But I didn't get a great chance to review all of this one, but something that caught my eye to the extent it's, 403 and item G, to the extent practicable, maintain an annual harvest level within 15% of the sustained yield target.
Where are you?
So it would be 403, section 400, 403, and then item G.
Well, that's not consistent.
3/4 to the rate that ensures steady perpetual supply of harvest.
What does that need to say? Because we might do a sale, but they don't harvest for 2 years, or they have 3 years to harvest. So.
Excuse me.
So take this year, for example. Right now, our sustained cut is set at 15% below what the program is telling us, at 6.5 million. This year, we sold. The right to cut that lasts for three summers after we sell it. But the whole point is we're selling our sustained cut every year in theory. But this year, for example, we sold 50% above our sustained cut. So at some point down the road, we need to reduce our sales program by that 50% to make up for it, so that over time...
But just one sale, or until you get that back, that sustained cut back?
Until we get to the sustained level back at the 6.5 average. So in other words, we could sell 13 million this year and not do anything next year. And over that 2 year time frame, we're at the 6.5 average. And that gives us the flexibility to do what we did this year, where we sold 50% more than the 6.5 million, but we made 90% more money doing it. And then in next year or the year after in the time frame, we need to pull the reins back in and make up for the extra volume that we sold this year.
Is there any language in there that gives you the latitude, if you find it's healthy to cut more, you have a stand that you say, I really need to get that out of there for health reasons, for good management reasons, that you can go over that?
It does talk about salvage and bug infestations where the whole thing's kind of out the window at that point.
Right,
go in and get the value out of it.
Get the value out of it and
get it salvaged.
But would we have, go ahead. I have a question. Would we have to then adjust, get back to that 6.5 again?
That's the theory of it, yes. I mean, if you look at the...
It depends on how big of the adjustment it is to the portfolio. Like the Douglas Complex was a 10% adjustment. It adjusted the sustained yield amount because you were putting everything back to basically square one. There isn't this multi-story stand. You know, we're operating our sustained yield on an inventory that tells us we have X number of volume out there.
We get a catastrophic event that happens. I'm going to be sitting here in front of you guys telling you what has happened.
What the situation
is. This is my suggestion where I think we should go with it, and I think collectively a decision needs to be made on what to do at that point.
I thought somewhere else in here we talk about that where sustainable yield is defined as a five-year average.
And that one gives me a little bit of heartburn. Where does it start? You know, does it start last year or the year before? Does it start next year? So that one gets a little bit tough.
It starts every year. You look back, you look forward. So it's your five-year average of where you're at right now, and it's the 5 years prior. So really what you inherited was the historic norm of 3 million board feet a year. You've got ground you can pick up theoretically because that's what it was managed. Same volume.
And that's what we're
same
doing.
Same inventory.
Now. Yeah.
So you don't just appreciate and get to 6.5, in my opinion, and discount every practice that's been happening in the past. You have only the last 4 years. So I don't see, you know, next year, you're looking back and you have 2 years that you've been doing this. So you've been close to achieving that. And I think you're 9.5. That isn't in the future that you need to cut less than 6.5. You did that a couple of years ago before you got here. They were only doing 3. I don't know what the numbers are all exactly. I don't have them memorized, but that's what I see on an average is.
You're taking the window. The window moves ahead every year.
The window moves ahead every year.
Every year. So if you didn't cut for the first 3 years of the window, you can cut.
There's potential volume there.
But when it comes to that point, you're going to have to adjust on the incoming end to make that average inside the window. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, and I'm not to interrupt you, but just at this head of this section, 4.0, the forest land shall be managed pursuant to a 5-year sustained yield formula. To me, G, if you need it fixed, can say averaged on the per the formula above or averaged.
That's
on the 5-year formula.
I wrote down. But what was your thought on? Is my philosophy on sustained yield not?
No, I understand what you're saying. It's just that it's a moving time frame all the time. So if you take, say we go out and we say, okay, over a 5-year time frame, we can cut 30 million feet. Okay, 6 times 5, 30 million feet. Okay, but say we cut it all in 1 year, do a 30 million foot sale program in 1 year. But then you look at the next year, plus the 3 years prior to it, that might have been 6.5 million, we're basically in violation of what that says, in my opinion, in my eyes.
Or so you wouldn't just stop for 5 years.
Yes, you would.
If
stop
you cut it all in 1 year, you don't
years.
Cut for four
you
more
can
years.
You're going along at 6.5. You have no ability to vary from 6.5. You haven't bought any degree. That's more of a historic practice. If it's 3.5, you don't get an ability to go above that 6.5 because you've just been doing sustained yield. You haven't bought any variance.
Right.
If you're, that's a really good point.
I think I see the question you're asking is, you're going along 6.5, 6.5, and then 1 year you sell 30. So for the next 4 years, you don't sell anything, and in 5 years, you can go to 6.5, 6.5, 6.5.
So, yeah, so looking at it just in the current five-year time frame, you would basically be in non-compliance of what that says till you got through those 0 years.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's ever the intent, but...
We have to look at the policy and take it to the extreme.
Yeah, I don't want to be sitting in here getting beat up with a baseball bat saying,
you're not
doing what this says.
Well, even in this year, I think you talked about going out for another one. I can't see how we don't. We're looking at some of these prices.
So what is our wording need to be to accomplish our intent?
I need to think about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I need to think about that and bounce some ideas.
So I hear what you're saying. I also think that we have to be looking at a rolling forward 5 year kind of thing.
And maybe it just says a long term management goal of the sustained yield. It doesn't rat hole you into that 5 year time frame.
A long term, because if you did the 30 because of market conditions and you did the 30, you're looking forward. Pat, I don't see where going back should affect. If you're even up at 6.5 in history, you haven't violated anything back there, and you decide I'm going to do 30 now over 5 years.
So taking it to the far extreme.
Yeah.
The whole county yeah. burns up.
Yeah.
And we got 115 million feet to go salvage. We go get 115 million feet. We're not going to do anything for 50 years.
No, because you aren't going to have the resources to do it with anyway, but you're going to replant.
But it's still sustainable.
It's sustainable in the long...
Long term.
It's not in your inventory because you had to get it out of there or we just waste it. I see what you're concerned.
Let's not belabor this too much. I do think that we've found a really fundamental need for clarification on this. And we can employ Mason, Bruce, and Gerard to help us with language on that. That's who to go to. They're the foresters that we had to do our... Did they do our inventory? Or did they just consult?
But maybe they can make a recommendation on wording so that we can meet the intent.
Yeah, I'll do some research.
There has to be a defined time frame, though. Your example is outside of the scope of this. What I want is management criteria that says, you know, eventually there's got to be a reckoning because everybody will say, oh, I'm good. We'll cut less in the future. You know, if this $1,000 of value goes for the next 5 years, there's some point where you're going to have to say,
we're past it.
And we're just going to not cut it.
We just won't cut it.
So there has to be a point of reckoning built in.
Mm-hmm.
The private sector does this, but they have, you know, people that can just make that decision, and it's easy. We have, that they're going to be, you know, like Starker. They're the same people who've been doing it for 100 years. We change every other day, and that's what we try to figure out as a way for him to work and not have that bridle or the ability of a board to come in here and say, I want you to cut 9 million board feet every year that it's $1,000 a thousand. You're going to do that. No, that's not maintaining your asset either.
You still have to maintain your asset because the asset belongs to the county and the people of the county. You can't just get rid of all of it and then say, well, guess we spent all that. Guess we've got to wait 50 again.
Yeah,
50 years before we start again. That's not right.
We'll figure it out.
Okay, good. I'll
do some more work on this and that one specifically and bounce some ideas off of Simon and then we can
we'll get there.
Thank you guys. It's good. We're getting started.
Getting close.
Yeah, you know what's really interesting is if you apply this to the ONC, and I won't belabor that issue, but you know, we haven't cut anything near what the sustained yield is, and that's how we've gotten to such a portfolio of timber. It isn't 500 million anymore. It was 500 when you had 50 billion board feet out there. You got 73 billion board feet. It's 730 million board feet. That's the sustained yield.
I think I just saw a report the other day. I'll try and find it, where now on federal lands, their mortality is exceeding their growth and their harvest.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
No, I
so they're letting more
saw
rot
that
than
during
they're
the
harvesting.
RMP. This district alone loses 40 billion board feet, and they put up 21.5 last year. It's terrible.
Wow. Management. Yeah, it's finest.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Streeter.
We knew this was going to take a little while, but appreciate your patience. It's important to get it right.
Item number four is codification project update. Pat, is that you?
My goal was, at the beginning of the week, it was to finish this by the end of this week, but that has moved a little bit, and I'm hopeful now to have it done by the end of next week. Done meaning out. At that point, Leah is going to review what a few of the questions that I kind of got stuck on.
Okay.
So.
Do we want this for next Thursday? Okay, Monday's a holiday.
I think we probably have a meeting Tuesday, though.
Tuesday?
I mean, unless...
I'll be here.
Yeah.
Bring it up for Tuesday?
We'll bring it back Tuesday.
Okay. And item number six, matters from commissioners. We originally had the Second Amendment ordinance scheduled for this, but I think I want to move that to... We agreed we want to move that to next week. So if that's okay with the board, we'll do that. I do want to get... on that, I think that's very important. I think we need to be out in front of that before the state pounces something down on us when we're late.
Was that supposed to be on our meeting or a general discussion?
I think
you guys, isn't it?
It should be under legal.
Okay.
Any other for matters?
Mr. Weber is here if you guys needed some of the questions you have from this morning on the RFP answered. Okay, then we're good.
You're good. Simon, you're okay?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Harris? Okay, then we will. Today is Tuesday, May 22nd, 2018, at 3:01 p.m. The Oakland County Board of Commissioners will now meet in executive session. The following agenda items. Item 7 is executive session. 7A is planning enforcement on 150 Twilight Drive, ORS 192.6602 E and H. 7B is county real property located at 900 Hitching Post Road, ORS 192.6602E. And C is opioid litigation, ORS 192.6602F and H. So at this time, approved representatives of the news media and designated staff shall be allowed to attend the executive session. All other members of the audience are asked to leave the room. Approved representatives of the news media are specifically directed not to report on or... We're back in session at 3:37.
Executive session. All right, so planning enforcement, we gave instruction on how to move forward?
Yes. However, yeah, yes, you did. Yes.
And the enforcement options that we'd like to pursue?
Yes.
As far as the real property we're pursuing?
That will be coming back to the board before a final...
Okay.
For a final thing.
So, and then regarding county real property located at 900 Hitching Post Road, we're moving forward in negotiations.
Yes.
And authorize an assessment.
Appraisal.
The other A word.
Yes.
And on opioid litigation, we would like to join this suit.
Yes. And authorize Wally to sign the...
And authorizing Wally to sign on our behalf.
Yes.
Okay.
Any other questions?
Anything else to add? Anything further? Seeing nothing, we'll go to item number 8, legal counsel update, continued matter from commissioners. Commissioner Morgan?
I do not have anything.
I don't have anything. Commissioner Hare had to take a phone call, important phone call, so we are adjourned at 3:38 p.m. Okay.